All right, well, that was a good third day there for us in regards to wrapping it up in red zone. Saved their legs a little bit with the shorter field and you know, again, they get some repeated plays a little bit and everything kind of shuts down in regards to the space that you have. But it's good for them to realize the situational football and how to work the red zone a little bit. So legs are good. Everyone got out pretty healthy. And, you know, I think for me, really the unexpected and not knowing what you're going to get into or how these 3 days are going to go was better than expected in regards to everybody. So that's a good thing. And like we said yesterday, we just keep building on this. And now we'll get into a little bit more individualized stuff in phase two next week.
What was your biggest takeaway from the last 3 days outside of just being happy with what you saw? What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, you start to get to see, number one, really the personal side of who some of the players are that you don't get to see. You can jump into meetings now and then and try to see who they are, talk to them, introduce yourself. But now you're able to actually be out there on the field, teach some football, and connect more with them. Whereas you don't necessarily do that as much when you're in the classroom because you're trying to give the position coaches time to work with them. So for me, it was about connecting with those guys, letting them kind of see how we work as a staff on the field and the mechanics of going from drill to drill and just the little things that you think you have covered, the players think they know until you do it and you realize that you don't, and then you try not to do it the next day.
And when you were an assistant coach, was there something you always wanted to do as a head coach that you've either been able to do or particularly looking forward to being able to do?
Not necessarily. I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is really when, as the head coach, your whole life that you've been coaching, you're always coaching a specific position usually. And even for me, the last 2 years, I was coaching the quarterbacks, and so I'm always going over and doing quarterback drills and different things of that nature. And so now, when the horn blows and you go to different periods, you got to get used to. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that first day it's kind of different, and knowing that, hey, okay, this is how it has to go. But after that, you move on from there and you see it. But there's nothing really too in particular that has happened other than just trying to again learn each day how the process is going to go. Yeah, I would put it slightly above the line in regards to being a little quicker than I had originally thought. The biggest thing you try to do in this camp right here for a team coming together for the first time is being able to just break that huddle and line up right. The other stuff is fluff. So if you're able to get out of the huddle, get lined up, run your routes the correct way, that's good. And now you have the adjustments that happen versus the coverages that they give you. That's the next step. Well, coming into these last 3 days, I was really impressed with the way that the guys broke out of the huddle and weren't really thinking too much. They were getting to their responsibilities, their alignments, and now we break it down on film and get to see where they're at and try to fix the issues that they have versus the defense.
How important could Adam be in that red zone offense with his size to that?
Well, he's a guy. Adam's a guy that has very natural ball skills when the ball's in the air. He's a big guy, so he understands the game of basketball, obviously, and knowing, you know, how to use leverage and use his size. And then he has good hands. So anytime you get and you start talking about the red zone with the teams that are good in it, you usually see big bodies. You don't see a lot of small guys down in the red zone with teams that are successful. So having a guy like him is going to eventually help us when we get into that part of the field.
Is there anything from these 3 days that you learned about Trubisky that you didn't know coming in or that he showed you?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is probably just his immense focus. He's very focused. So in between plays, when he's calling a play, the play occurs, then he walks over to the sideline to get the play call from Mark. You can see he's always thinking, but it's a good thing. He's focusing and he's trying to think what just happened, but then that fine line of not letting it affect the next play. So he grew the last 3 days in that, and he's listening to us as we coach him as to how to work that process.
In your experience with Chase Daniel, what do you like about him? What do you like about him in the role that he'll have?
So he obviously he knows the offense, so that's good. He can help Mitch when somebody else is up and Mitch is off to the side, or Mitch is doing a drill, or Mitch is behind myself or the coaches, he can be on the side and just give him a little help in regards to what he saw or didn't see. And he's going to do that in the classroom as well. So, but there's you want to be able to make sure that between those two guys, they understand how there's different ways to learn, you know, and some guys are visual guys, other guys learn by hearing it. So they'll figure it out. And we're so early right now that they're working through that, and they're really doing a good job. And so, again, I used the analogy last year with Patrick and Alex, how that happened. I've experienced it. So I have no doubt in my mind that we'll see that again this year.
What does he do particularly well in relating to a starter?
With Chase?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here's what I think. I think that he pushes you, right? He challenges you and pushes you, and there's a competition there where it's just at the point of, hey, man, I'm going to make you better. We're not going to slack off at all. I'm going to make you better, but you're going to know that really, you know, I am your number one supporter. And so once they understand that and realize that, which they're getting to that point right now, then I think for Chase, he's been in that role for a little while now, several years. And so he understands how to help Mitch. He understands how to handle himself, but he also needs to understand that he has to know when it's time to play too. So there's a lot of different variables that go on there. But Chase has done it, and for us to be able to get him here in that position is nothing but good for us.
When you're coaching a quarterback who's taken second overall, how do you manage expectations for him in your messaging with him, knowing he already feels the rough
position? Yeah, you don't. So if you start worrying about expectations other than what your coaches want, you're in trouble. And so he's just got to understand, just come to practice every day, be a leader. Lead these guys, and sometimes that's hard. You come in last year as a rookie, and you're asked to lead guys. That's a hard deal sometimes. Now it's year two. It's time to make the next step. And so in practice, if there's a for instance, a bad snap, if it's a little low, how do you get on that center and let them know without making them mad that you did that and offending them, right? There's ways to do it. So for him just to grow as a leader, and forget the expectation. We don't need. There's no expectations for him. Just go be a quarterback, play football. You know, listen to the details that we give you as coaches. And if he does that, then he has nothing to worry about with expectations.
What do you make of his interactions with his teammates then, in terms of being a leader? I know it's only been
3 days. Yeah, he's growing. It's early and it's there. So he can he's at a point right now where they're everybody's. All eyes are on you when you're the quarterback. So if you make a bad throw, right, or it looks like a bad throw, then everybody criticizes the quarterback. But it might have been somebody running a wrong route. It might have been somebody missing a block. There's a lot of things. So that's stuff he can't control next play. So for just be yourself, execute the play, listen to your coaches, don't make the same mistake twice, and then let's score some touchdowns too.
Where exactly is Leonard Floyd?
Yeah, I don't know exactly where he's at. That'd be something for our training staff. But I do feel good about where he's at. He's been in here, you know, really grinding every day, trying to get better, as all the guys are. So I'm not concerned about him, and I feel good about his situation.
What exactly do you learn from just being on the side in practice? Secondly, did you have a verdict on him?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, what he can learn is being able to see. The vibe and the energy and the camaraderie between the whole team, not offense, not defense, not special teams, but all of us together, how we interact, how we coach these guys. So he can see that. The second part is with your question with Aaron Lynch is it seems to be better than we thought, which is good. And I just, again, that's a positive thing. And those things that happen, you never know. But I feel like right now where he's at, we'll be good.
Now, with the schedule coming out tonight, just wanted to ask you, obviously every game is important, but it's only 16, but how much of an emphasis in your message to the team will you place on division games, especially given the past?
Yeah, so division games are always important for a lot of reasons. you know, people can say the tiebreakers and things of that nature. But for us, I mean, this is we need to just understand that the importance that it has. And so there's so many different things that go into it. And we'll get into the details behind those four walls within us and how that works. But what you got to just be careful of, especially being a new team with new coaches, is trying to look ahead too much. So you want to be able to be excited. That's okay. That's human nature. But once that schedule comes out and we see who the first opponent is, then let's really start honing in on them and focusing in on them and knowing that, you know, you can't go 2-0 without going 1-0.
There was special chemistry with Mitch and Tariq, just with both of them coming in at the same time and kind of building up to this point.
What's the chemistry like?
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Again, it's this thing that we have going on right now, there's a lot of individual drills. There's routes on air. There's special teams. There's stretch. So there's a lot of stuff that takes up time early in the practice, and there's not a lot of team periods. Right now, this is on purpose, and so you don't get as much interaction with those guys right now because you just the volume's not there of plays. But just knowing who those two guys are, I feel really good with where they're at, and I have no issues at all. I know that they'll work well together.
Matt, there was a question before last year if Mitch was even going to play as a rookie. You know, how much better is he off right now learning your system based on the fact that he had those 12 starts?
Well, there's two thoughts of that. I think the first thought is it helps you for the speed of the game when you get to the season, right? The speed is super fast. So anybody that sits behind for a few years, learns the offense, when they get to that first game, you can't simulate that in practice. As much as you want to try, you can't simulate it. So you get into the game, it's the first time you're seeing those live bullets. Well, for him, he's had that now. He's had that. And so is it going to make him a better quarterback than if he didn't do that last year? I can't say that. But I can say that I do think it will help him. I don't know if it's going to necessarily make him, you know, exceptionally better in one way or the other.
Matt, how much of a challenge is it for Mitch, not just learning a new offense, but learning four or five new guys that he's never thrown to in a game before?
Yeah, that's the timing part. And so the time, every guy runs their motions a little bit different. Every guy, you know, smaller guys have more steps to get to 12 yards. Bigger guys have less steps to get to 12 yards, and that's timing. So that's something that he's going to have to build, and they'll do that. Every one of those guys is different, but there's not a quarterback in the NFL right now that's not dealing with that. They're all dealing with those situations. So when you have some new guys in here, hey, it's your job when you get free time to get with those guys and get it honed down and figure it out with your footwork and your timing and then make it work in practice and obviously in the game.
Matt, we saw Cody Whitehair working at center these 3 days. What do you like about him playing that position?
Yeah, he's a general there at that position. He's very comfortable there. He sees the field well. A confident kid that is just really hungry to get better each and every day. So he's learning that we do put a lot of responsibility on that position, but he's handled it really well, and he's learning from one of the best in Coach Easton.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.